When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Good morning. How are you, Brian?
Hoppada.
After you throw up on yourself.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he would do.
What are you doing later today?
Hoppada.
Hoppada.
Okay. Hoppada. Man, it can mean anything, really.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's a magical word.
Hey, Coop, does your partner Calhoun like somebody that works up here?
Hoppada.
Hoppada. Hoppada. Hoppada is right. Two big stories in sports last night. One had to do with on-the-field stuff, the other with off-the-field stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, another unbelievably entertaining wild-card play-in game. And yeah, it's entertaining, even though it's not my favorite type of baseball. I like a lot of scoring in most sports. I really do. Football, I know we disagree on this. You play defense your whole life, so you like defensive struggles. I like a lot of points in football. But in baseball, I like the pitcher's duel. I like when two guys are out there for a long period of time and that one run that you could get in the third or the fourth could determine it, and the bullpen comes in and you're biting your fingernails down, as opposed to what you had last night where it's 6-0 and then here come the Rockies storming all the way back and then it's 11-8 by the end of it and the Arizona Diamondbacks move on. But it was still unbelievably entertaining. And these two offenses we knew going in had the capability of doing this, and they put it on full display last night as Arizona moves on to play the Dodgers. But you can't get two more edge of your seat games that pop at you than you did with the Yankees and Twins, and now last night with the Diamondbacks and Rockies.
Yeah, at least with the Yankees and Twins, it seemed there in the middle innings, at least, that, okay, I think the Yankees have control of this. And we were thinking that with the Diamondbacks last night when Greinke has a 6-0 lead, and yet it all went awry. Next thing you know, it's 6-4. He's out of the ball game, and the hits and the scoring just continue to come. And so I agree with your assessment. Yes, football, I like low-scoring ball games. And in baseball, I enjoy those too. When there are not a lot of errors, or not saying they had that last night, but when you have teams that are just, they're strong pitching, and usually get that in the postseason, and one run could be the difference, and usually it's a low scoring ball game. So I can appreciate those across the board, no matter what sport it is, or at least between football and baseball. But that was fun to watch. You see a Goldsmith, the guy's 0-17 to end the regular season. Then he comes up his first at bat, boom, a 3-run dinger.
Well, how about an addition to that against John Gray, who was 0-11 with 5 strikeouts?
Yeah, and John Gray is a guy that his last few starts, he was, his ERA was right there at 3 or below, and then he gets in his first postseason ball game, and just like you saw Severino for the Yankees in his first postseason ball game the other night, the guy's so jacked up that he can't find the plate or can't find his location, and then you had what you had there, a 3-run inning. So it was interesting to watch those two, last night's game, be similar to the previous night's ball game, but fun. Big scoring, and we're in playoff mode, man. I love that. The place was packed. I was sitting there reminiscing about 2001, Yankees Diamondbacks. Like, can we get a rematch? Can we get some revenge on these guys?
And Byung-Young Kim, man. Yep. That was unbelievable stuff, that series. One of the great World Series that I've ever seen. And I know that your team ended up on the other side of that. But from someone who at the time was really, really rooting hard against the Yankees, that was something else. But, you know, even in that series, though, because that was right after 9/11, I kind of, part of me wanted the Yankees to do well in that series, too, because of everything that was going on with New York. But just a great World Series. But something that happened to the Diamondbacks last night that you thought was a big situation for the Yankees because everybody that they went through in the bullpen, it's even worse for the Diamondbacks because they burned through their number two starter in this game because Greinke could not continue rolling like he did early on in the game. So Robbie Ray has to come in, and now you're in a situation where, all right, well, neither one of those guys pitched a whole heck of a lot, but they definitely pitched enough to maybe consider not throwing either one of them in games 1 and 2. So that's something that Torey Lovullo is going to have to figure out in Arizona, how he's going to handle his staff. And you thought that the Yankees were going to come out of this going to Cleveland thinking, wow, look at all these arms that we burned in the bullpen to get through this game. Right. The Diamondbacks have an even larger situation on their hands as they head to L.A. to take on the Dodgers.
But they have to be feeling confident, even though then you're now in the second season, feeling confident going into this matchup with the Dodgers. They won the season series 11-19, won the last six versus the Dodgers, outscored them some crazy number, 40 to 10 or 12, something like that. So they own the Dodgers down the stretch, and you would think they would have the advantage, even though we're now talking about different ramifications as we head into postseason. So, it's going to be interesting how you play these bullpens and how you deal with your rotation, because you lay everything on the line just for that Game 7, and that's essentially what it was, the wild card play-in. Game 7, G.O.
Yeah.
I know you've heard this enough, but it's Game 7,
okay? Win or go home.
Yeah, win or go home. So you got to just put everyone out there. All arms are available, and the Diamondbacks proved that.
Yeah, and I like the Diamondbacks a lot this year. I really do. We were sitting back there in one of the boss's offices, and we were talking about World Series predictions, what, a month ago, Mike? 2 months ago? I'm saying Indians, Diamondbacks. I'm sticking
really?
By it.
You said that the whole time, way back then.
Way back then. Mm. Well, they were both on really large winning streaks at the time.
Okay.
So yeah. I just decided that was my contribution to the conversation.
Mm. And who did Mikey B pick?
He didn't pick anybody. Oh. He just sat there with a look on his face of fear, waiting for the boss to call on him what guess he has for the week.
Oh, the usual. So,
you are correct.
Yes.
The usual
yes,
Mikey
the usual.
B.
Yeah. Yep.
And the boss man picked?
I don't think that anybody was picking but me at that point. That was just my contribution to the conversation. It was sort of like, how about the Diamondbacks? How about the Indians? And I said, they're going to go to World Series, both of them. And then that was that. So I have to stick by that. It's exciting times in that office.
Hate I missed that.
Yeah, I know. It really is too bad. The things that you miss here at CBS Sports
Radio. I try to avoid that office now because the Snickers are back.
Oh,
and the willpower, you know.
Right. It is amazing watching people show up to the office like it's free government cheese, you know.
And that's the welfare office. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can we get some different products in there, you know, other than Snickers?
I've told you my government cheese story, right?
You did, I don't remember.
Where I used that same reference to government cheese in front of someone who apparently had indulged in a lot of government cheese in their life.
And Tell me again.
It became very awkward. Yeah.
Tell me again. All because right. I... Lived off of government cheese.
Probably most
government cheese was food,
right?
And it was a weapon.
But this guy, it sent him into a dark past.
Get out of here!
Yeah, I just made a government cheese. It was Ryan McGuire, the PD down at WQAM.
What?
Yeah, so he grew up in Michigan.
Okay,
and I guess that he was living off of government cheese for a while, and it just when I made that reference, you know, there were four people in the room, three of them laughed, and he began to become very sad.
Took him back to a dark time in his childhood?
Yeah, I had to apologize.
Hard. I went through it, but, you know, we made it.
Take Abraham.
Come on, man.
You ever have government cheese?
Yeah, you look constipated, but that's it.
You know what it's like.
Oh, you got all serious?
Wait around for government cheese.
There was a long line, I must admit. Yeah,
he was not Johnny Carson that day. This is a guy who sounds like he's doing a bad Johnny Carson impersonation. I really like the guy. Talked to him the other day, actually. Called him up.
Yeah, but, he had to reflect back on his childhood, and it was a scary, traumatic time.
Yeah, it was like
for
when
him.
When the laughter ended, it became
you were eating
scolding. You know,
be thankful you live in a country with a social safety net.
Just so you know, next time you make a government cheese joke, get the temperature in the room. Okay.
Well, I'm offended, G, that you would bring up government cheese.
Sorry.
And we call it government.
Government cheese?
Government cheese, not government.
Yeah,
government
sorry.
Cheese.
Sorry.
Man, I mean, Velveeta had nothing on government cheese, dog. Nothing. I mean, it tastes better, but other than that, nothing. You talking about making a grilled cheese sandwich? It'd take you a little while. Take you a little while to melt that government cheese.
Oh, I'd love to know what was in there, other than
cheese.
Cement. Yeah. The Diamondbacks moving on in an exciting game, a big story last night. Prior to that, the big story in sports was an off-the-field story in the NFL. Shocker there. As Cam Newton, who is doing one of his media sessions after practice yesterday, gets asked a question by Jordan Rodriguez, who is a female reporter for the Charlotte Observer, who has been covering the team for a little bit. And Cam Newton's response Well, it became the talk of sports yesterday afternoon.
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and making getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny.
So that reaction, not the greatest one. Now, no. I don't need to go into the obvious reasons why this is not a good thing. Because when Cam Newton's up there, someone's covering the team. She's asking a legitimate question. Mm-hmm. And all he's thinking is, this is a female asking this question. And females aren't supposed to be asking me X's and O's questions because they're female and they don't get it. And us football dudes are the ones that should be talking about this. I mean, that's sexist. It is. Now, the people that were coming out and taking this to a whole nother level yesterday and using this as a springboard for all sorts of other conversations. This is why I've got to get off of Twitter when stuff like this happens. I mean, let's look at this as what it is. This is Cam Newton being disrespectful to a woman who has earned more respect than that and should be getting that respect automatically. This is not a dissertation on how NFL players feel about female reporters.
They were generalizing on the Twitter.
And I shouldn't really even react to that. But, you know, most of...
They put them all in the same box like they usually do.
Right. Yeah. And that was the second part of that really bothered me, because you've been around it, I've been around it. There's a lot of respectful players when it comes to whoever is covering the team. And this was... We have to talk about Cam Newton here. We have to talk about Cam Newton and how he was disrespectful and not make this a conversation about everybody, because I've seen a lot of good stuff and a lot of respectful behavior in locker rooms when it comes to that stuff. But this obviously was a bad look. And I hope that, because there was an exchange afterwards between the reporter and Cam, and her account of it was that he still didn't kind of understand why.
Her account was that he made it worse.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And the Panthers said they put out a statement saying that Cam, you know, regretted the words that he used or the comments that he used, which I didn't see that anywhere but the Panthers statement. But I just really hope that, you know, he learns why this was a bad look and why this was offensive for her, and they can this is a teachable moment more than anything.
I would hope that everything you read and the folks that were using this as a springboard to deride players in general, I would hope those weren't the same people that voted for the Grand Birther, a guy who has derided and insulted women from day one, his campaign. So I would hope that they didn't engage in this conversation, because they have not a damn thing to say that's credible on this subject. That being said, what Cam did was stupid. That was ridiculous for him to make those comments, and he summarily dismissed the woman's question, and he should not have. If she didn't know how to do her damn job, she wouldn't be in that room. Now, there are men and women that sometimes ask some dumb questions, and we will post those questions or play those questions right here.
Right.
But what she asked was an interesting question, the interaction between you and Funchess, and there are a number of dudes who couldn't even tell you anything about the route tree. They don't know what a dig is. They don't know what a square in. They don't know what a circle route is. They don't know what a F angle is. None of that stuff. They couldn't draw it up to save their lives. So take it out on this woman was asinine on the part of Cam Newton. I remember being my first year in New Orleans, and New Orleans Saints, they have a booster club. That tells you how much they love their football. Booster clubs are usually associated with high school teams, maybe even a junior high school team here and there. But there are certain clubs around the nation that have booster clubs. And I was taken aback. I was at this booster club meeting before I'd played a down for the New Orleans Saints, and this elderly lady was asking me about cover two and zone blank. Like, the hell you know about that? Yeah, I was saying that to myself.
Right.
So that interaction with that lady let me know this is a totally different animal. These people love their football. You knew that going in, and you knew also about the history of that team and the Aints and yada, 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 and we proceeded to my 4 years there to bring the Aints back. But the fact that she was very knowledgeable about the game was just surreal to me in that moment, but I didn't question her knowledge and how do you know this or that. I just took it all in, and Cam should have done the same in in this situation. So I hope he has shown some contrition. He's apologized to that young lady because that wasn't an off-base question whatsoever.
No, and just because she's a woman asking it for him to, like, laugh at her, yeah. it's embarrassing for him. Mm-hmm. It's insulting to a lot of people.
Apologize and let's move on. And all those who are now trying to put all the players in the box, why do they always do that with black people? Why do you got to put us all in the same box? We're different.
It just really...
It was Cam Newton who said that. It wasn't anyone else in that locker room. It was Cam Newton that said it. Yeah. No one else. Just get on him and move on.
You know, it's I got to be completely honest. It's hard for me to talk about these things sometimes because I haven't experienced anything like that. And sometimes I feel like it's
you're a liberal, G.
No.
That's what you are. No, that's what you are. You're a liberal. Why does it have to be left and right when we have these conversations? No, I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying. Why does it always have to be left and right? Why can't it be right and wrong?
Well,
he was wrong. That's the end of it.
Yeah, no, sure. Right. But what I'm saying is, like, that feeling that she had yesterday, and I'm sure the feeling that you've had in situations where people have not looked beyond your minority status, for lack of a better term, you know, or look past the color of your skin, like that, those moments, like, I haven't experienced any of that. And you know what that is? I mean, that's like, I can't even imagine that feeling that she had when she's sitting there and Cam Newton, one of the most recognizable athletes, is laughing at her work. Like, what?
Right.
Like, the feeling that you, and I don't know what that feels like, you know, and it's just, it's really, but I can only imagine that it makes you feel horrible because you're like, here I am, you know, busting my ass, doing the best job I can in this job, and all this guy sees me as is a woman shouldn't know this much about football.
There you go.
I mean, that's got to suck.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the pushback we get on stick to sports, is if we don't have to walk outside these doors and deal with real life situations. So yeah, that was a bad look for him, and to then engage her in a conversation after you make those comments, engage her in a private conversation, and according to her account, you don't apologize, then you make it worse. I mean, you inflame the situation even more. That's just stupid on his part.
Yeah. So a teachable moment is what I said before, and I really hope that, you know, there's no excuse for
teachable moment for him and anyone that thinks like him.
Right, absolutely. And there's no excuse for his behavior, and I hope from here on out this is the last of that type of thought process.
Well, he has to understand the misstep here. Hopefully he understands it. He didn't immediately, once again, if we are to buy into her account of the private meeting right after he said that and he made it worse. He still didn't get it. So hopefully someone can get in his ear. Like, dude, you got to recognize what you did here and how egregious this is, and come out, be forthright in your apology. I don't want to force you words upon you. I don't want you to get out there and read from a PR statement that the Carolina Panthers have written for you. You got to speak from the heart and say, I screwed up here. Or if you don't want to give a public apology, call a young lady or meet with her. Hey, I get it now. I was dumb. I was stupid. I should never have gone that route with you. We welcome you in our meeting rooms or our media room here. I personally recognize that you're doing a job that you've earned and you have the right to be here. And I should not have been so dismissive in my answer.
Your thoughts on Cam Newton and the question and how he handled it yesterday, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. More baseball talk, your calls, Andrew Bogus. Jim Bowden's going to join us today to talk some baseball. It's a jam-packed show. Keep it right here.
Give us a call right now, 855-212-4CBS.
I went back and listened to that. Well, it was funny. It's nothing wrong with me. It was just a funny thing.
Really?
Yeah, it was funny. Well, and Brian thought that down in Disney World that you had Disney World and then Epcot Center.
Now Epcot is for his grown-ups.
See? Well,
Bogus told me that's what it was called.
No. It wasn't Bogus' fault.
It's not your fault, Brian. Don't worry.
Yeah.
That's a different amusement park, folks. Maybe we should develop an
Epcot?
A little side business?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Might have some legal issues with that name.
No.
Yeah, it's a little too close to Epcot.
Bull Dookie? No.
You know, the Epcot Center has that big...
You get two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the big round
golf
thing.
Golf ball type thing, yeah.
Exactly.
You get two.
Yeah. Play some side by side.
There's our logo.
Boom. I like it.
It's perfect.
I like it a lot.
You want to add something, Mike? got really close to the microphone.
No, I'm good. I'm fine.
It sounded like, or at least looked like you wanted to add something there. But
just enjoying the conversation.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Wow.
So Bogus is here. He's got an update for us. Take it away, Andrew.
Guys, their 6-run lead got cut to 1, so the Diamondbacks turn to reliever Archie Bradley at the plate.
Here's Nisik's pitch, and Archie shot to left center field. That's going to gap it all the way to the wall. Two runs are going to score. Archie's into second. He's not going to stop. Here he comes to third. He slides in safely with a triple.
Greg Schulte on Diamondbacks Radio, first triple by a reliever in postseason history and one of 4 Arizona hit last night, the most since the Boston Americans in the 1903 World Series. Bradley's a baseball player, not just a pitcher.
Pride myself in still being athletic, still being able to hit. And I was just going up there trying to put the bat on the ball. I knew I had a chance to drive a run in, and, you know, triple is pretty cool.
But then Bradley gave up a pair of solo homers in the top of the 8th, so Arizona needed 3 more runs, including a 2-run triple from A.J. Pollock to secure an 11-8 win over the Rockies in the NL wildcard game. Now game 1 at Dodger Stadium tomorrow night. Game 1's in Houston and Cleveland today. The Astros hosting the Red Sox with Justin Verlander and Chris Sale on the mound at 4:08 Eastern. Then the Yankees and Indians at 7:30. Sonny Gray and Trevor Bauer. The Patriots and their crap defense in Tampa Bay for Thursday Night Football. Bill Belichick worried about all those people on that Buccaneer offense.
Their skill players are good. Quarterback, running backs, tight ends, receivers. They got a lot of good options there.
The Pats are allowing 32 points per game through 4 weeks, the most in that time frame by the previous season's number one scoring defense since the merger. You can watch Thursday Night Football 8 Eastern on CBS. Raiders wideout Michael Crabtree able to practice yesterday, expected to play Sunday after sitting out last weekend with a bruised lung. The Titans have not yet ruled out
some
QB.
Unbelievable injuries.
I know.
Bruised heart, bruised lung.
Is the game dangerous? Are we just
figuring that out? Patty cake.
Right, but we know that, but it just, I've never, like, when you're talking about organs to me, it just, that's what really hits. Because I'm so conditioned for torn ACL, broken leg,
strain
concussion.
Is growing.
Yeah, all that stuff. When I start hearing about organs.
Yeah.
Then
sports
I get
hernia.
I mean, bruised heart and bruised lung.
Man.
My goodness.
Yeah, that usually happens off the field. The bruised heart.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Aw.
Mm. Happened to you.
Doesn't happen at Epcot, but it usually happens.
Yeah, there's someone for everyone at Epcot.
That's where you go to get over the broken heart. Bring your broken heart to us. That's our slogan.
It really is. We might have to do this.
Why not?
Yeah, I think you need to drop.
We did the Blatchler. We can do this.
Yeah. Well, I think you're going to have to drop the Better Man Show, though. You're not going to be able to do both.
Why not?
Well, because it's a conflict of interest.
You can be a better man at Epcot.
I don't know if you can.
Why not?
Not the Epcot I'm thinking about. The one I want to create. I don't think you can.
Oh.
I mean.
You have a twisted brain.
No, you have
a bruised brain.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of ideas that are flowing through my
head. Well, we'll take the Better Man Show to Epcot and try to make the patrons better.
Brought to you by
the Better Man Show.
The Epcot Center.
Yeah, or vice versa, right. Yeah.
Have you been spending too much time at the Epcot Center? Come to the Better Man Show.
Yeah, you can get folks on the way out.
That's right.
Perfect.
Have people stand there with pamphlets and stuff.
Nice little funnel action. You know,
yeah.
Out of Epcot, right to Better Man. Right.
Boom.
Beautiful.
Saving souls. One soul at a time.
Mm-hmm. Where were we? Oh, yes. The Titans have not yet ruled out QB Marcus Mariota for Sunday because of his strained hamstring. Mariota put in a limited practice yesterday. And April's top pick, Myles Garrett, expects to finally make his debut this weekend. He suffered a high ankle sprain in practice the Wednesday before the Browns opener. The Cavaliers think Iman Shumpert will be okay after injuring his foot and landing from a dunk in last night's preseason game. But Shumpert will get an MRI today.
He cut off his flat top. Did you see that?
Yeah, he did. Man. Haircut. A lot of haircuts in sports. Jacob DeGrom cut his hair, long flowing locks of the Mets, which I think might be a Photoshop, though. Has anybody seen other
people? Was he Thor or was it the other guy?
No. Thor's Noah Syndergaard.
Oh. I've seen a video of it.
Oh, did you? Okay. Because I just saw that one still shot. If you look at it, it's a little weird.
Yeah,
it doesn't look right.
Jose Reyes Instagram.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. All right. I thought I was onto something there, but never mind. Okay.
The Minnesota Lynx.
Welcome to my world.
our WNBA champs after an 85-76 win over the Sparks in their fifth and final game. That's four titles in the last seven seasons for those Lynx.
They are the UConn of the WNBA, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
At least someone's winning in Minnesota, right?
Aw. Oh, you need to go to Epcot. Forget about that. Yeah.
No catastrophic non-contact knee injuries from Maya Moore. Simone Augustus has remained healthy for her 14-year WNBA career.
She's been in the game a while, man.
Maya Moore or Simone Augustus?
Simone Augustus.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah. I was cheering for the Lynx.
I don't know, man. They play most of their games in the summer, right? I'm busy.
On the boat, that's right.
Yeah, I don't have time for the Lynx in the summer.
And as you can see on the TV right now, they had to play this game not at the Target Center.
Right.
They were playing at the University of Minnesota.
What happened at the Target Center?
I don't know. I think they were doing renovations there, but you'd think they would be done by now, right? Because the preseason starts in a second.
But was there a preseason game, though, maybe? And that takes precedent of...
Possible.
Well, it was packed. At least it looked like it was packed.
No, it was, for
sure. Probably
it
was a better atmosphere, to be honest
with you. I would think, yeah.
Just because every seat in there is filled.
Smaller venue.
Looks like people were fired up.
And it was opening night in the NHL last night. The Oilers blanked the Flames 3-0. Reigning MVP Connor McDavid scored all of those Edmonton goals. Philly won in San Jose 5-3. The Blues beat the Penguins 5-4 in overtime after the Penguins raised their Stanley Cup banner. And Toronto stormed through Winnipeg 7-2.
Wait, McDavid opened the season with a hat trick?
With a hat trick.
Damn, boy.
Mm-hmm. Guy's good.
Say some.
Sorry, I wasn't listening to the Penguins score. How'd they do?
They lost in overtime, 5-4. Alex Petrangelo, the game-winning goal.
Petrangelo?
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad.
No, it's not.
It's terrible.
Raising a couple banners, you know.
And you lose?
Come on. It's just tough for all those fans. Mm. They haven't had enough success out there. All right, thanks, Bogish. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Bogish, thank you.
So tonight, you've got game one between the Yankees and the Indians.
Yeah, so I'll get an hour of football.
That's right.
That's about it.
Hour of football for you. Well, you can flip back and forth.
Yeah, I'll flip back and forth.
I mean, don't you? You don't have like a two TV setup thing in your humble abode?
No.
Okay.
No.
You could watch one on your Surface or something like that.
Can you stream it?
Yeah, you could stream it. Like you could go to, for example. Well, first of all, they made a deal. Didn't Amazon make the deal with Thursday Night Football?
Yes.
This year, so if you've got Amazon Prime, you can stream it that way.
Maybe I do that, or I just go to the Sports Mix.
Right.
That channel.
You can do that as well. But also, I believe that when you have these national TV games, these standalone games, that with the NFL mobile app, the NFL.com mobile app, whatever it's called, that you can also stream the game via that.
Okay.
So on your Surface, if you just went to NFL.com, you could hit that and stream the game, have that there, and put the Yankees on the big screen.
Aha.
So there's ways to do it.
And how much is that going to run me?
Nothing. It's
just
free.
Stream it.
Well, I think the national TV games are free. I'm almost positive. Well, they are for me because I have Verizon. Do you have Verizon?
No.
Well, maybe it's not. I don't know.
Well, I have Verizon Internet at the house.
Well, there you go.
I think
you should be able to do it.
I should be able to get it free.
Because I have, like, there's times where I'm falling asleep. It's a late Sunday night game. And I get into bed and watch the end of the game on my phone while I'm in the bed to not disturb my wife because she's already asleep.
Right.
There's times I do that, and it says, like, watch it on Verizon or whatever.
Okay.
And I click on that, and I have the game streaming on my
phone. So since I have Verizon Internet service, I should be able to stream.
I think so. I don't know. If anybody else has information on that, tweet us. Don't call us because it's too boring, but just tweet us.
Help me out.
Yeah. So you should be able to. It's 2017. You should be able to do this,
okay,
man. You know?
Don't yell at me because I'm not up on technology.
Figure it out.
I will.
Two things to watch tonight. You figure it out.
Okay.
Well, anyway. So Terry Francona, for whatever reason, has been criticized for not going with Kluber in game one, where he has distinctly said that Corey Kluber is going to pitch game two. And if there's a game five, he's going to pitch game five.
Right.
So tell me what the hell the difference really is.
I don't know. I was trying to understand his math as well. Why not have Kluber, who's probably going to win the Cy Young, have him go game one and then bring him back game four? What's the difference?
Well,
there's a game four.
But my point is, like, either way, he's going to pitch twice.
Yeah.
So if there's, is he more comfortable at home, you're saying, in a game five, maybe? I mean, that's, but that's,
If that's the case, say that. But he's looked comfortable wherever he's
Bauer's
pitched.
Been great over the last.
He has, yes.
Over the second half, especially the last month.
Yep.
So I'm not going to criticize him. I think that it's fine to do what he's doing. But also, I mean, if you're going to see Kluber one of the first two games, it really doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Because the Yankees are hot. Like, won't matter.
Right.
You can pitch him wherever you want to pitch him.
Sure.
Yeah. Care who you put out there.
I don't know.
Be all right.
I'm not sure about that.
What? I'm sure now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, you were trying to jinx him.
Uber confident. Yeah, I was. Yeah. Because the reason I was trying to jinx because I knew they weren't going to lose.
We call it a Fifi false enthusiasm. No, I'm jacked. I'm ready to go. Bring it on. Bring it on, Mark Chernoff.
Because you know you're going to lose, right?
Shut up. You crazy? Well, I don't think about losing.
Mike.
You're getting me fired up. Our Yankees, baby.
Oh, God. I forgot about
that. I thought you were going to wear the jersey today. Didn't you tell us yesterday you're going to wear the jersey?
Oh, it's coming. Don't worry.
He just ruined it, man. He just ruined it.
Yeah, he jumps on your bandwagon. It's just.
I still love the Mets, but there was a feeling with that game. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, I actually do know what he's talking about, which is crazy. There is, and I'll tell you what, there's a rational thought there. It's not so much rooting for them to win. It's just a heightened interest of that team.
Mm-hmm.
Just because when you live in a particular area when there's a couple of teams in a particular sport and one of them stinks that you might be rooting for, you still like feel the vibe of the city. Like you walk around.
Well, you feel the vibe for the city, but that doesn't mean you jump on the bandwagon.
No, you don't jump on a bandwagon.
Yes, you feel that energy. And,
but it makes you want to watch it more. And then I don't know. You just... Maybe not root, like full-on root for them.
You still get in a cold sweat when you talk about going and covering the Yankees championship parade.
That was not fun.
Yeah.
There was a lot of factors in that.
There was a lot of energy then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was.
Yeah.
But
it didn't wash over you, did it?
Or
at least it did in a negative way.
I'll tell you, though, I did back in that 2004 series that they ended up losing to the Red Sox. I was into that. I didn't want the Red Sox to. You want to know why? Because Curt Schilling said, "I want to make 50,000 New Yorkers shut up." I took that personally.
Oh,
so
wow!
So that was like,
So
I didn't want to win the World Series, but just get out of.
Yeah.
Just beat the Red Sox.
How about you shut up, Curt Schilling? How about you stuff some government cheese down your gullet? Won't be able to talk. Trust me, I've done it.
Have you?
I'd like to have some government cheese.
They still make
it's
government
been a while.
Cheese.
They have to. Yeah,
Mike, find that out.
Find out. See if we can get some. Yeah. I want to go back in time, man. I'm not like Ryan, your homeboy down in Miami. You know, fond memories. Hell, we were eating.
Yeah, right. Of course. It's better than the alternative, is it not?
Constipated, but we were eating.
If you know how to stream NFL games on your tablet, or if you know that government cheese is still available, give us a call. 855-212-4CBS. Because that's the type of show we're doing today. We're coming right back.
Keep up with the latest on the show on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So Brian doesn't move his needle, doesn't like it, doesn't float his boat, doesn't put ketchup on his hamburger, whatever he likes to say. Yeah, doesn't like it. So I don't respond then because I'm like, Brian doesn't like it, then what's the point of me saying anything about it, right? We're not going to play it. So then, what was it? 2 weeks, Mike? I don't know. Roughly?
2 weeks, 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks later, Brian suggests this song as a rejoin to Mike. And this is probably the fourth time that exact thing has happened.
Yes.
Where Mike sends something out, you don't like it because it's coming from Mike, and then you hear it on the radio, like it, and then suggest it.
No, that's not true. I don't dislike it in the moment because it's coming from him. There's so many things going on. I listen to it, and then I'll see the video.
Oh.
And the video engages me a little bit more than listening to it on the surface.
You're a visual learner.
Yes.
You need to see it.
There you go.
This winter, one out of four batteries will fail. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
Mikey B.
Well, I was telling
which
Brian.
Is right. I, the first statement he made, it usually takes people three or four times to really get into a song. It has to grow on them, which I understand.
Sure.
And then he finished it with, I have a very sharp ear. Yeah.
Well, he does. It runs in his family.
Yeah.
It does, yes.
Yeah. Well, you're in the wrong industry, dog.
I agree.
You should have followed Pops.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. No,
still Pops to hook you up. He still has connects.
I think he's trying desperately.
He still has connects.
All right,
in
Pete
the
dump.
No, it's okay.
I'm just kidding. No, of course.
You afraid that the boss is going to hear you trying to get jobs in other places?
Well, he'd probably be happy.
He would be.
A little bit of him.
Yeah. No, of course he would. I don't think that he would. I mean, it sounds insulting that he wouldn't care, but I don't think that that's a bad thing.
No.
Be like, good for him. It runs in the Beseglia blood.
So let's start a record company.
Music by Beseglia.
All right, Brian. Let's find some artists.
It's MVP. A different type of business, though, now, man.
No,
right?
It's totally different.
You can't do what your dad did any longer.
Totally different.
No, then it was just about the radio.
No, yeah.
Now this internet thing.
Yeah, it's messed everything up for the music.
Independence, and you can go straight to the consumer.
He's retired now, though?
No, he still works.
He still works?
Yep.
So he's adapted with this?
Yeah, he started his own internet company.
Okay, good. So why aren't you working for him?
Right.
I just love what I'm doing so
Music
much.
Internet company?
Yes. We can discuss this at a later time.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Okay.
I don't understand. Why are you afraid to talk about it now? Oh, never mind. Okay, I got you.
Did he give you hand signals or he said it in your ear?
No, he said it in my ear. I understand. It makes sense. I didn't know there was an affiliation there.
Ah.
I didn't know there was an affiliation.
Aha.
Now I get it.
Aha.
Not that it really matters, but just to be safe.
Right. No, you're right. No, you made the right call.
That's all you had to say, man.
Well, go work for your dad, man.
Yeah, it's an option.
I don't know why you wouldn't just come on, just go.
Slam dunk.
Yeah, it really
maybe
is.
All right, I'm leaving.
There he goes.
Maybe his dad doesn't want him to work for him.
I'm sure he does.
What?
I'm sure he'd love for him to work.
He knows him.
Yeah, but he knows better than we do. He knows and likes him.
And we know him well.
His dad's a big fan of his son. He should hire him.
How do you know that?
Because Mike and I talk. I know that.
We had lunch yesterday.
Yeah.
My dad.
Well, not
yet. For the first time since?
Last Wednesday.
Yeah, they're
You have lunch every Wednesday?
Did you guys talk about contract terms and stuff like that?
No.
Iron out the details of?
No, more about this place.
So every Wednesday he comes in from Woodstock?
Yes, this is really boring now, but he drives my mom. He teaches at William Patterson on Wednesdays.
All right, okay, let's get out of this.
What's William Patterson?
Are you here?
Yeah, let's
It's not interesting.
Yeah,
I'll tell you at 7 when you don't
yeah,
care.
Right. Pull the plug on. Like it gets to a point. It's funny.
I know what we're going to hear in the meeting after the show.
No, nothing, because he's not here today. So.
Oh!
Yeah.
Snap!
Yeah.
All right.
Let's throw a party.
Yeah, why not? So Denny Hamlin said some stuff yesterday.
Yeah.
He said
about the Confederate flag?
No, it was not about the Confederate flag.
Oh, damn.
He said, we're way underpaid as race car drivers. There's no doubt doing what we do, the schedule that we have, and the danger that we incur every single week, NASCAR drivers should be making NBA, NFL money.
So NFL players want the NBA money, and now the NASCAR drivers want the NBA and NFL money.
Yep.
Okay. They'll take the latter.
So, under a national network television deal for NASCAR, tracks receive 65% of the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Teams receive 25% of the revenue. And NASCAR itself receives 10% of the revenue. So, NASCAR's in the third year of a 10-year TV deal with NBC and Fox, estimated to be worth around $8 billion. So...
And nobody's watching. No one's going to the races.
So, well, hold on. Let me just this one more thing here. Just so everybody knows the information. Hamlin was the third highest paid driver in 2016, and he earned $15.2 million from salary, bonuses, prize money, endorsements. The highest paid was Jimmy Johnson with all that stuff,
right?
With $21.8 million. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the majority of the money that these drivers make is from the sponsors. That's why this is a sponsors-driven entity. And not to say advertising doesn't drive sponsorship in these other sports leagues, but you have fans that are flocking to see these teams play in NFL and also in the NBA. The arenas are packed. In NASCAR, you're seeing not so much. There's a decrease in viewership. There's a decrease in those who are attending the races. But the salary here, more than any else, is driven by the sponsor. Now, we can point to some shoe deals guys have signed where they're making a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, Harden, Westbrook,
right.
LeBron.
And now they're having their contracts to match that, though. You see these $200 million contracts at the NBA level. And
guaranteed.
Also at the MLB level.
Yeah.
So NASCAR, totally different animal. But he's correct about the dangers of driving the cars. But it's not apples and oranges per se. And I just don't. I think he's barking up the wrong tree. You better go to those team owners, but they're not going to decrease their percentages to increase yours as a driver. But it is a dangerous sport. It's very dangerous.
But it always has been, and yeah. This is how he chose to go about his living.
And
not like he's being like totally undercompensated right. In the world.
And speak to the heads there at NASCAR, because as I just stated, there's a decline in viewership. There's a decline in those who are attending these races. So I think NASCAR is in a precarious situation. Didn't help with the Richard Childress and Richard Petty comments a week or so ago. Maybe it did help. Maybe those Confederate flag loving folks will now put their dollars down and go to more races since he said what he said.
Denny Hamlin finished sixth in 2016 and earned $15.2 million. I mean, that
ain't bad.
It's tough to, and I don't, and usually.
Man, it's hard to live off $15 million,
well,
dude.
Well, that's the point.
Come on.
I mean, it's like, I understand it's a dangerous thing, but for 1 year, that seems to be some pretty damn
it's
good
tough.
Compensation.
You know, I got to feed these kids, man, $15
like,
million.
Come like, on. I can understand the NFL argument a little bit more because, and I understand, you know, both sports are dangerous in different ways, but, you know, there are guys that. Who, you know, will get hurt immediately and then will never see any of that money. You'll get cut
right.
And most of your contract goes away. I mean, I would assume that most of these sponsorship deals are guaranteed, I would think.
At least for a time period, yes. That's true.
Yeah.
Right. And you're correct. That's why it's a totally different animal where there have been career-ending, life-ending instances in NASCAR. Of course, Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah,
senior, and so yes, you see that. But how many times do you see a guy who tears up a knee in NASCAR or suffers from concussions, not able to get back in the ride? You know, Junior missed a ton of time a season ago.
It's rare
because of that. Yeah,
yeah,
it was rare. So that's why I made the earlier comment that it's a totally different animal.
All right, coming up next, are we ever going to see Andrew Luck play football again? Will we ever hear that really weird voice after a game? And the Chargers. They're going back to San Diego already. It's Gio and Jones coming right back. CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.